once again to Northern Rocks episode 106. Tonight we bring you an episode dedicated to the biggest party of the summer, Summer Slam, the 25th anniversary of the Hype It Up. Before we get there, let's introduce our host, and being that this is the People's Power episode of Nerds on the Rocks, we're going to introduce them in the only way possible. So first off, we have hashtag NOTR Ash.
This business.
We have hashtag NOTR Nick.
I'm here to be your intellectual savior.
And we have hashtag NOTR Wes.
Woo, woo, woo. You got pushed off a ramp.
Now, you can use those to vote. We honestly don't care what you do with it. We're just going to give you results anyhow.
The winner is just going to be Teddy Long, so.
Hashtag Teddy Long.
How does he still have a job?
I don't know.
Actually, the real winner will be John Cena, because let's be honest, John Cena always wins. He's not even in this poll, but John Cena will win.
My cat just rolled up next to me and is hanging out. That's cool.
Aww.
Hey, Gandalf, what's up?
Did you say the cat is here?
Yeah, he's just hanging out.
But yes.
Is he
rubbing
like
his head on my
knee. Cat Miller?
No, he's a big fuzzy asshole, is what he is.
Oh.
He's gonna call his mama.
So he's like Triple H.
Ah, I get it.
And I guess we might as well start there, because it's the biggest match. Well, that's being built as one of the biggest matches on the pay-per-view. It only took them like 4 months to build up something that was there two promos, but...
Yeah. And it got, they had to make it the hour-long main event of people wandering around and talking.
Woohoo!
Forever and ever and ever. I will just say this, and they've been showing like the video packages of this, of the build-up, like, constantly, because Brock had limited dates, so they don't really have him on TV all that often. And what really caught my attention, I should say, is it makes it like Brock is the good guy in this. Like, he's the one who's being doped by Triple H.
He might as well be the good guy. For goodness sake, he's promoting Jimmy John, so, you know, that doesn't make him that bad of a person. He's promoting good and wholesome sandwiches.
Those damn good sandwiches.
They are damn good sandwiches.
And the storyline doesn't make... What was the last thing you heard out of me?
It was like this, the problem with this, and then it just like died.
Okay, Brock Lesnar's character overall is that he's a bully. He's a big douchebag, giant-ass dick bully.
Yep.
Right? But he's being bullied by Triple H and his wife.
Yes.
He's like, fight me! I don't want to. Fight me. I don't want to. Fight me. I don't want
to. Oh, my glob, fight me.
My glob, fight me, you guys. and it took him, and, like, it was weird. It was the whole thing, you don't talk about my kids that way. And then Stephanie came out, talked shit on Paul Heyman's kids, and then as soon as he said something, like, you can't talk about kids. I was like, what? I don't understand. Who are these people? Why are you still relevant? Where's CM Punk? Why isn't Damien Sandow rescuing me from this? Can somebody call my mama.
Well, Funk is on a roll.
Somewhat. He's kind of rolling to the ring when he's sneak attack. But, I mean, going back even further than that, the whole purpose of this storyline is that Triple H didn't honor a contract that somebody else signed with Brock. Which, you know... Granted, yes, it was kind of made under duress, but it was a contract that was agreed upon by the WWE or a representative of WWE.
Yep.
So, and then Triple H gets sued for breach of contract and then attacking Heyman, and he's supposed to be the good guy in this. So he's saying, we'll cost the lawsuits if I wrestle you. What legal system works like that?
Yeah, why would you do that? Like,
WWE legal system.
Come down here and fight me, and you won't get money from me. What? What? No. No. In no way does that work.
No, it does. Not only that, but it's the idea that, like, I can understand even if Frog dropped the lawsuit. I would Heyman, because Heyman doesn't get to fight Triple H in this.
Well, Heyman would get to vicariously beat up Triple H via Brock Lesnar.
So is Triple H greater than money now?
Well, I'm sure if you ask him... Yes. But we don't ask him. because we don't have 10 minutes to get a yes out of him.
That's the other thing that drove me nuts about this feud. It's like Triple H spent half the beginning part of this year saying no to The Undertaker, no matter what Undertaker said. And then when it turns around and Brock say no to him, he's like calling him out. I'm like, you just went through the same thing where you didn't want to fight somebody. Because
well,
they say no, no, no.
But Triple H had a reason, because they were the end of an era and they were the last two of their kind and
except
the quickening
the
and...
except for The Rock and Kane.
Yeah.
And
hey.
Whoever else is around.
Stop it! Stop
it's it! Not, it's not like either one of them work a full-time schedule anyhow.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to be sad when Triple H wins on Sunday.
And that seems...
which is the dumbest move ever.
Yeah,
well, they're not going to let Brock go over him because, I mean, Brock Lesnar is large, but Triple H's ego is legion.
I think it
doesn't make any sense, and we haven't spoken since WrestleMania. But Brock came in right after WrestleMania. He had this huge feud with Cena, and then he loses to Cena, and then he disappears for 3 months, or he gets fired, whatever you want to say. And it's like they waste the going price apparently is like $5 million. He shows up like every 2 months, and they're wasting him because they need him to put over their old stars who are already over. Like honestly, the money match I thought would have had him the Marsh Cena.
Well, yes, the money match would have, but in that scenario, Triple H doesn't get to pin Brock Lesnar.
But you see, it would have made more sense if you had DeMar seeing that you get Cena out for the summer, and then you have like, Triple H come back because he has to defend the honor of the WWE. Like, you have Brock run rented through the company throughout the summer, and you have Triple H. He gets that perfect white knight role that he loves so much, where he gets to come back and defend his company from this tyrant, Brock Lesnar, and John Laurinaitis. It makes more sense than this, where he's...
Yeah.
He wants him to drop a lawsuit because he punched his executive for no reason whatsoever.
Another
can
good.
Can we just have a moment of silence for the Johnny Ace era of Raw?
Oh. R.I.P. People Power.
Oh, People Power.
And
oh, Piggly.
Another feud that just kind of got washed in the Cena era, because. Again, it's one of those things where it's like the WWE does stuff where it's kind of hard to take your good guys as good guys. I understand the reasoning behind the story, but the fact that Cena got Laurinaitis fired because like 15 people helped him beat Big Show in a cage match, does it make you a good guy?
When Cena was the moron who didn't just pin Laurinaitis in their match. He decided to drag that match out for half an hour, humiliating him. And then he loses, and he's like, that wasn't fair. No! You're just an idiot!
Yes, yes. Like, oh man, Big Show, grab your head. You can beat him up too, because I haven't been doing a good job of it myself. But yeah, that entire storyline made no sense. But it is what it is when it comes to Cena. I mean, a lot of these storylines don't make any sense right now.
Well, some of them do. That one doesn't.
That one doesn't, and I would say the World Heavyweight Championship one doesn't make any sense.
Oh, boy.
As to who's the face and who's the heel in that regard.
Yeah, well, that was the more recent development. Sheamus is obviously the face because he smiles.
Don't poop in people's cars!
I don't even know how that's PG, but...
Well, they
didn't say it was poop. They didn't say it was poop. They didn't say it was specifically poop. So... they could just say, it was some mysterious brown substance that smells bad and comes out of people's butts.
Now, if this was the Attitude Era, they would have just said it.
They would have just been like, holy shit, Sheamus, shit in this car, shit.
This is the Attitude Era. They wouldn't have done something that stupid. He probably would have driven into a river or something.
They totally would have done something that dumb. If it was the Attitude Era, Sheamus would be coming out like, he would look like Finley.
Yeah.
Kind of like kilts and shit. And
if it was the Attitude Era, all of DX would have pooped in that car.
Yeah, and his name would have been Irish.
But yeah, before we get to before we get into more details of the World Heavyweight Title match, back to this Triple H and Brock business. And this is I just wanted to make one point because I was trying to think about this when I was watching Raw last night. Is I can't think of a major feud that Triple H has had that has involved Triple H and the other party. This one involves Shawn. The one at WrestleMania involves Shawn. Almost every feud in his early part of his career involved either DX or it involved the corporation. And then he had Evolution.
So, it's kind of proving, was it The Undertaker who said it? Or was it CM Punk who said it? I forget. Is that Triple H needs Shawn Michaels because Shawn Michaels is better than him?
Yeah. Everybody has said that to him, and yeah, it's like because he can't, it's like he can't tell a compelling story on his own. Like, I mean, almost everybody knew that Brock was gonna admire Shawn Michaels from when they announced that he'd come back.
Yeah,
people, I mean, the good money would have been on him to join the entire DX on Raw 1000. That would have been awesome. Then there was last week where he's like, "Oh, I'll see you again, Shawn."
Point of contention, that was not the entire DX, but one of them does porn now.
Yeah.
And possibly, you can have Mike Tyson, a rapist, appear on your show, but you can't have a woman who did porn on your show.
That's well, woman who still does porn.
Yeah, woman who still does porn, and was She-Hulk in the Avengers parody.
That's true. Very true.
I didn't watch the whole thing, I will not, but yeah, China was She-Hulk.
Yeah, that's what I say, because Xbox had... I was actually surprised he got Billy Gunn, because I remember he really hated Triple H when he left the company.
Apparently that got better. I'm guessing Billy Gunn got offered more money or something.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Lost the money.
Well, he probably realized that he didn't want his legacy to be TNA, like most wrestlers do in their Twilight. So it is that. So yeah, and I think I said this last night during the segment, and I'm sure other people said it on Twitter as well. It's like this feud has done a really good job of building a Brock Lesnar versus Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Like I want to see that match now. I mean, they've done a terrific job. I mean,
rather see that match. That's fun.
Brock is a huge monster. Shawn is the scared face.
And Shawn Michaels is fighting his broken arm.
He's going to sell a broken arm beyond, you know, like, he's not going to show up at a UFC pay-per-view the next week without his arm in the sling.
I would like
to see Dolph Ziggler try to sell a broken arm.
you know,
make it work.
You guys know Arrested Development, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Tobias when he was auditioning. Yes. I'm thinking Tobias when he was auditioning for the fire sale commercial. Like, that's Dolph Ziggler selling a broken arm. Oh, the humanity! The children! The children! Dolph Ziggler is Tobias Funke.
I'll go with it.
Seems to work.
He's so much cooler, though.
I know, he is. Dolph Ziggler is so awesome.
Speaking of Dolph, I mean, we might as well work our way up to the main event. But actually, let's go back because I think Ashley wanted to touch on this as well. We have a tag team title match this weekend with...
Tag team title? The devil, you said.
Yes!
They've been doing a much better job of building that recently.
I know, it was a joke. They've
been kind of trying.
They've been trying and they kind of stop.
They keep shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Which,
and,
literally, in Evan Bourne's case.
Ow.
But
I'm bumping.
That guy's an idiot.
I'm going to smoke fake weed, and then I'm going to rip my foot off.
That was the best, girl. Thank you.
I mean, he's given so many chances, and he's, like, it's not even like it's real weed or something. He's just doing the most idiotic things you do when you're in college, and you don't know any better. But yes, we have a tag team title bout between does R-Truth and Kofi Kingston have a name?
No.
The Crazy Boom? No, I'm making that up.
I like that crazy.
Little Jimmy's got a pipe bomb. I don't understand what.
I could have sworn they had a name because they had that whole thing. They did the same thing when Kofi Evan. They had like the poll on WWE.com for people to vote on a name for the tag team. But
it doesn't count unless it's trending on Twitter or is touted. So,
well, somebody tout them a tag team name, but make it like really awful.
We should just all go on tout during WWE Raw one time. Jimmy Jump.
Jimmy Jump.
See, my problem is I know I'm going to end up touting at one point, but it's going to be when I'm drunk off my ass.
So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do, like, the dumbest one possible. Be like, oh, my God, you guys, John Cena's the best. Oh, he's the best. But in the background have something, like, completely inexplicably weird going on.
See, I want to do a full tout with a sock puppet.
Like, just someone with a green screen. I'm going to have to get a green screen and have someone walk in green clothing carrying a cat so it looks like the cat is floating behind me. Just a way to get some weird Dada shit on Raw.
More so than on there all the time. Like the kid who ran in front of Batista that one night.
That was awesome. But wasn't that a storyline that everything was going wrong on Raw that week? Because I forget what happened, but now I feel like Michael Cole and Jerry the King are, because they're completely ignoring the tag team title scene. But yeah, that takes.
Jerry Lawler's a terrible announcer. The devil, you say? He's a racist, misogynist, old creep. No way! I don't believe you.
Oh, what is the entire WWE writing staff?
Ding 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 ding.
No, just him.
I've listened to a lot of
interviews with some of the writers and stuff like that, and it does seem like a lot of them have good intentions. And then it kind of hits the brick wall that's known as the McMahon family.
Yeah, they'll have a really good idea, and then Vince will say, I don't like it, make him a B.
What the hell is the Blair Witch Project? Stop this storyline, because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty
awesome. I like Jesus B. I want to fuck a B. Make him a B.
I mean, speaking of real quick, it was nice that we did kind of get some payoff to like major storylines during the Raw 1000. We saw Mae Young's Hanson, which
I died.
I can't make the comment I made on Twitter that night because Ashley will disown me again.
But they figured out that, I mean, it was kind of a nod. I don't think they actually said it, but GT,
that was great.
For Gene TV.
Oh, that was Gene. You're the one behind GTV. I wasn't even working for this company then.
Yes.
But
that night when they did that bit with AJ being like, I am not the crazy person here. And she's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you have Hacksaw Jim Duggan just wandering around randomly, like, that's the thing to do. That would have proved it in and of itself. And then they had to just, you know, capitalize further. So.
Also, the shout-out to Trish and Hunter.
Yeah, I thought Stephanie was going to walk in on them.
Yeah, so did I.
Wait, and then X-Pac being super creepo?
Yeah, that was really sketchy.
You mean X-Pac being X-Pac?
I don't know if that was like a writer or if that was just him being him.
Yeah, I saw that possibility raised as well. Like, was that just like an actual scripted thing, or is he just, they just left the cameras running? God.
But yeah, Raw 1000 was fun, and it's kind of been a slippery slope since then. But yeah, going back to this, the R-Truth, Kofi Kingston versus the Primetime Players match at SummerSlam. Primetime Players seemed to be going well, and they were doing remarkably well with AW as their spokesperson. And then I guess he said one thing's too many on a live mic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Want to know something funny? I remember the rape joke was, yeah, poor decision. Poor decision.
Right.
It's going to happen. He apparently got fired because he made fun of Linda's campaign.
Yeah.
And see, that's, yeah.
She's not going to. She's running today, I think. I think the vote was today for the primary. Let's find out what's going on with that. Hold on. Keep going.
But if it was over the rape joke, I mean, the rape joke was, it was bad.
Ooh,
and, you know, it needed more of an apology than a sort of forced apology. Like, I understand he was playing the heel and he was trying to be an asshole, but there's still a line.
Yeah.
At the same time, I agree with what he said about, you know, they're claiming he was fired over the rape joke. Well, Mike Tyson is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's a fucking rapist.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Sheen, and he didn't even bring this up, Charlie fucking Sheen was on Raw 1000. Charlie Sheen... has beaten multiple women and accidentally shot his fiance with massive bullet marks around accidentally. And like, they're okay with promoting these guys, but they're going to fire AW and say it's because of a rape joke. I feel like he hasn't quite wrapped his head around how bad the deal with the rape joke was, but he's absolutely right. I mean, that is a really two-faced thing to do to him.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, and it's, he was pointing out, like, back in 2002, blah, 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 got away with that. And it's like, yeah, back in 2002, during the tail end of the Attitude Era, before they went PG, you know the rules are different now. This is the era you're in. So don't compare it to that. But at the same time, comparing it to The Rock's gay, 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 gay.
Everybody's gay. You're all gay. Gay, gay, gay. Gay's for everyone.
Gay,
I'm gay. No, wait, I'm not gay. You're the one who is the gay.
Everyone but me is gay. Everyone
but me. You get a gay, and you get a gay, and you get a gay.
You get a gay in Australia. Yeah. It's a messy situation. Like, it's everyone looks bad, especially The Rock, because The Rock, fuck him in his ass, his totally non-gay ass, gay, 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 gay.
I mean, just real quick, and I know this is kind of awesome. Did you see that awesome picture that CM Punk tweeted with like his action figure giving photo shoot to The Rock?
Yeah, that was pretty
funny. That was awesome. But yeah, and the other thing that was kind of weird with this rape joke is they kept him around for that week.
Uh-huh.
Because he was on SmackDown and stuff like that, and then they fired him. So, I mean,
would
think...
Well, SmackDown taped the day after, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was still with the... he got fired, like, that weekend.
Yeah, you would think that if it
was it
was just
before it aired.
Yeah.
It aired on Friday, and he got... and records on Tuesday and airs on Friday. He got fired sometime between then. So I remember it coming out and wondering, oh, how are they going to handle this?
So, yeah.
But I do like the tag team feud in general, and I like the primetime players.
Yeah, I think they are a great team. I think it's nice. They had time to develop their abilities on NXT, which, you know, it's kind of, it was a really underrated show, but there was a lot of time that came out. I mean, AJ came out of it, and the primetime phase came out of it and stuff like that. And
Daniel Bryan.
Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett. It's entirely
hashtag Barrett Barrage.
Fuck yeah.
Ryback.
Ryback, yes. Ryback. Skip Sheffield.
The Ryback.
The Ryback.
But I was talking more about the prolonged version of NXT, which went on for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, like, the other one, it was kind of paired up like a bunch of rookies, and they were kind of green and stuff like that. But this one was kind of like, it was kind of like the C-level show, but a lot of these wrestlers got exposure in front of a live crowd without that pressure of being on Raw and SmackDown. So they were kind of able to hone their skills, and, you know, they're both, not so much Titus O'Neil, but Darren will. It's a good talker. Granted, they didn't need to when they had AW.
Nope.
It's, no. You're going to have to help me with this, because even after seeing them wrestle multiple times, I still don't know who the primetime players are. Like, I know it's Black John Cena and the other guy.
Titus O'Neil.
Okay.
Which is the one who does the finisher where he just, like, I'm going to put my knees into your back and you can suck it.
Isn't that Epico?
No.
Backstabber, right? The
there's that, but there's also...
I thought he did... Isn't his where he drops you across his knees? Like, with like a gut break, a gut buster?
I don't know. All I know is one of the primetime players, their big move is, like... I saw it, and I, like, recoiled when I watched. I don't know if it's just the way he hit it, or the height he gets when he does it, but I, you know... I was like, oh, God. That... Ooh. Ow.
Yeah, how did they get their name, by the way? Did they defeat Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd in a tag team battle like sometime in the past? Or
there was a time machine, and they went back in time. And yes, they did, in fact, defeat Bill Murray. And actually, it was Eddie Murphy.
But he wasn't Eddie Murphy. No, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy does a job for anyone.
It was.
Except for his kids, so he can do their movies.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Eddie Murphy's career is pretty much jobbing for everybody. Sorry, Eddie.
Well, he's doing it. Isn't he doing a Beverly Hills Cop 4 to revive his career?
What?
Oh, yeah, he is working on that, isn't he?
Or did that get canned? A lot of these movies kind of develop and get canned later on.
I think they're trying to figure out how to make it work right now, but they haven't talked about it in a while.
Yeah, because, you know, coming back to an old role has helped everybody revive their career.
Harrison Ford.
And, well, I would say Sylvester Stallone, but he just seems to keep making movies that star himself, so... There we go. Another match on the SummerSlam. Well, it's not on SummerSlam. It's on that little pre-show they have before SummerSlam starts, because apparently that's where he faced Santino defends his U.S. title.
Because you know it's important.
Yeah, it's one
of
those
things. Cesaro wins because I like that dude.
Yeah, I think Cesaro needs to win. I think Santino should have dropped the U.S. title months ago.
God, I didn't even know he still had it.
Yeah, it's like you forgot about him.
Wait, he has a title, doesn't he?
He's a great comedy bit. He's not really
crack.
The guy you have hoped. Like I think he's probably the second longest reigning champion in the company right now. Because he won it before WrestleMania.
God, wow. That's sad.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think Cesaro is awesome, and I don't really care much for Oksana. She's just kind of eye candy, and she speaks with a foreign accent, but it was kind of nice when she was being evil to Teddy Young, because I don't know why he has a job.
Well, and Oksana works in the role with Cesaro.
Yeah.
Although sometimes it borders very much on he's the man your man could smell like, but I like that.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's weird. I was reading something, I forget on what site, talk about, like, apparently, like, the higher-ups are seeing him as he has to do something soon or he's going to be relegated to the lower card in people's eyes. Like, dude, you're putting him there.
Yeah.
When people are relegated to lower or mid-card, it's because you booked them that way. You can't put someone against Santino and expect them to be awesome. It's just, that's what's going to happen.
But you
know
who
Daniel
Bryan
need? In a feud with Santino, and Daniel Bryan wouldn't be that great. Well, that's a lie. He'd be awesome. Let's be honest.
But I mean, you know what the people do need? Sin Cara.
Everyone needs Sin Cara. They get squashed by Tenzai.
Oh, God.
Tenzai. To feed his fingertips to the Wolverines.
Or if you want to get... I will be even better with Tenzai. I will say Giant Bernard for anyone who might actually realize, oh wait, this guy was an acclaimed New Japan wrestler before they put him in.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's happy with the deal.
No, he's not.
We're gonna hire you back to pretend to be Japanese, and everyone will still hate you. But you shaved your back, so good on you for that one.
Well, it seems like they and this happens often, it's like the WWE doesn't get the reaction they want, so they just kind of can his push, because he was being pushed heavily for like a month or two, and there was that whole build-up where after like Extreme Rules, it's like, John Cena's next opponent at the pay-per-view, and everybody's like, oh, it's going to be Tenzai, and it's like, oh, John Laurinaitis, I'm like, okay, how does this make sense?
Well, that was during the time, like, right in that time, it's like, oh, Tenzai's going to be huge, he's going to be monster heel, everyone's going to... Womp, 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 womp.
And I think that, you know, Monster Hills can work. The problem was, one, at the time, they were doing three of those angles. They were doing Brodus Kid, they were doing Ryback, and they were doing him.
Was Ryback around yet? I think they came around at the same time,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. Because he was doing it on Raw, and then Ryback was doing it on SmackDown and stuff like that. And the other thing was that you don't put somebody like that in the main event that quickly.
No, you don't.
Because like, he was having matches with Cena and Punk.
God. Because the same thing with Sin Cara. They tried to put Sin Cara in like the main event faster than Lightning. And look how that turned out.
I mean, it, sometimes it works. It doesn't often. I think the only two times I could think of, really, and I would say one's questionable, is Brock Lesnar and Alberto Del Rio. And Alberto Del Rio had a pretty much start and stop push for that entire first year anyhow. He still has a start and stop push.
And, yeah, Brock Lesnar was a huge exception to the rule because he came in as an absolute monster. He had a fantastic mouthpiece from the very beginning with Heyman. And he, I mean, we're talking about a guy that large, but ridiculously athletic to the point that, you know, he could do a full top rope moonsault.
Yeah, and he had talent that was willing to work with him because The Rock made him money at that SummerSlam where he pretty much demolished The Rock from bell to bell.
Yeah.
And also make note during that period was during when Paul Heyman was in charge of SmackDown, which pretty much really helped Brock Lesnar that much more because of the immense amount of talent that was surrounding that show during that period.
Yeah, and he was smart enough to, he was, well, not smart enough, but he was put on SmackDown where you kind of, I mean, at the time it was a Triple H show, which is a lot of the reasons a lot of the pushes that were stopped on or were stopped. You mean Booker T. Scott Stein is debatable because part of it was that Scott Stein also
was a mess in his own right.
Scott Steiner lactated on TV.
Oh, my God.
So, but yeah, there was a lot of pushes that were kind of, like a lot of people came in hot. They feuded with Triple H and they were no longer needed in the main event scene. And that's kind of the same thing you get nowadays. It's like people come in. They feud with Cena, and then they're kind of like, we don't need you in the main event scene anymore. I mean, this year alone, he feuded with Kane. Kane is no longer in the main event scene. He feuded with Tenzai. Tenzai's a chopper. He no longer works for the company. I mean, officially, he doesn't work for the company. Actually, he doesn't work in that position anyhow anymore.
Tenzai, all Tenzai does now is beat Zack Ryder on Superstars. And even Tenzai can get on Raw easier than Zack Ryder at this point.
So, yeah, who knows?
Well, at least Ryder is like, I know I have to retool my gimmick because this isn't working anymore.
Oh, yeah, he's learning it really quick. Like, yeah, I need to retool my stuff fast. That's what he's doing. That's practically what he's doing on his YouTube show right now is just tweaking around with crap. Because he said, well, I'm not on TV. Time to tweak.
Which is what people, when people ended up wanting him anyway before, was when it was like, hey, I have this YouTube show and I'm not getting on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then they teamed him up with Wolverine. And that was awesome.
Now that was fun.
Oh my god, was it? But it was more awesome because Ziggler, not because of that.
Yeah, Ziggler actually was that sort of moment of, he sold that Hugh Jackman punch like nobody's business. He didn't get
kicked
on national TV.
I also just enjoyed, like, Hugh Jackman was obviously having such a good time doing that. And his moment with Vicky Guerrero where he's like, excuse me, but does your necklace say cougar? And it seemed like this perfectly genuine reaction. And I'm like, I love you, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, good times.
Can they have Hugh Jackman on again when they release Les Miserables? Just get Hugh Jackman on Raw again.
In Valjean costume. Oh my god. I have an idea.
Uh-oh.
They should do a full musical episode of Raw.
Yes.
Every hour is to kill now. It's mad as well.
Why not? We've had a year in which we've had Hornswoggle get revealed as the anonymous Raw GM. Sorry, Nick.
Again.
Sorry.
Fuck that.
My head.
Here's what you do. You bring out the mid card, the lower card guys at the beginning, and it's like, look down, and then you just go from there. Because you know who'd be Valjean in this respect? It would be, CM Punk.
All musical episode of Raw would actually, oh my god, that actually would probably draw ratings because they're calling their friends, going, "What the heck am I seeing?"
But just for the record, have any of you heard WWE Originals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
I don't want them to sing for an entire 3 hours.
Why not?
I could barely make it through that CD, and that had post-production work done to it.
Earl, you're missing the beauty of the idea of Damian Sandow singing Castle on a Cloud.
Oh my god, why would you reach into my heart and just pull that out? How did you know?
Just, it would bring tears. tears.
I'm crying now.
Now, what would Heath Slater sing, though? Because you know he is the one.
He would just sing One Man Band. Let's be
One Man Band.
It would be that part where it's like, you know, the little kid is like running around and picking pockets. It's like, little people go in. But he's been, one
no, that's
man
Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan would sing Little
oh,
People.
Yes. God, Heath, yeah, no, Heath Slater would just like, at random points, I'm a one man band. One man band.
Then Ryback would come out and squash him.
Maybe Ryback should say Castle on a Cloud.
No, no, because I don't want Ryback to ever speak outside of the ring. Like, that's why I was hoping when they were doing, they were like hashtag name Pitt or whatever, like Ziggler Pitt. It was like, I wanted it to be Ryback Pitt because I wanted him to just go in and all he would say is, feed me more over and over again. Every question.
Is it just me or is it that they added that to a song and it makes it sound really creepy now?
Feed me more.
You know, that's not like people, I don't know. I hate when they do that. They did it with Ryder too, and sometimes it works with like the Rock.
The Rock.
The Miz, yeah.
Yeah, that one works. But, yeah, no, it doesn't work. It didn't work with Zack Ryder's. It doesn't work with Ryback.
No, it's not even that he's at the beginning. It's like it's throughout the entire song. I'm like, this is just very demonic sounding.
The other one that worked was Trish Stratus's giggle at the beginning of her entrance theme.
Oh,
okay. That did work.
I mean, I like when they add those sort of touches for people, but it doesn't have to be the person speaking. Like CM Punk static, Austin's gas breaking.
Oh.
Brock had that little, I don't know what you call it, like a scratch.
Yeah, is that
guitar squeal?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, when they add that, that's kind of awesome, and I understand why they do it because you want that instant recognition so people get up and pop. But yeah, I don't like Ryback's, and I didn't like a Ryder's.
I never liked DDP's. Either the self high five or the it's me, it's GDP.
I just put the meanest tag ever on this article I just wrote.
Oh no.
Are you going to talk about it?
I'm going to tell you what it is right now. It's because I'm writing about the Yellow Submarine, and the tag was Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, and also starring Ringo Starr.
Oh.
That was mean.
But yeah, what else? This has a really, it has a really tiny card right now. I'm sure to add like 50 more matches.
Well, Claire Jericho.
I was gonna get to that. I mean, the top two match. Well, okay, the top two matches to me seem good. It's the stuff like the Miz versus Rey Mysterio. I'm sure will be a quality match. I do like that the Miz has kind of retro. Like he's kind of fixed his character, but it's still kind of the same. Really. But he looks like an adult
needs to
now.
Do something.
The one start of it is he got rid of the spiky hair, and now he looks more like, he doesn't look like what he's looked like for that. Now he looks like, okay, this guy looks like, okay, you're trying to make him more of a little bit more of a legitimate threat. Or he's always been but now they're getting rid of spiky hair, and they're kind of growing up his character a little. Mm-hmm. He just needs to snap. Miz just needs to have that one moment of he just straight up snaps.
It's kind of.
He needs to be a face. They need to turn him.
I was about to say, because the WWE doesn't really like to. They have this thing with. They don't like to really have any heels that are gigantic anymore. Right now, none of them are really kind of like that scary monster. It's kind of like they're either the cowardly one or the arrogant one.
Yeah, they haven't really had like a monster heel since Mark Henry, and even that he got like kind of cowardly toward the end.
They nerfed him. Nerfed him hard.
Well,
he got injured.
He got. I mean, the injury was like it required a nerfing, but yeah. But yeah, I mean, and that like I still can't believe that match with him and Sheamus, where the whole point was Sheamus came out and said, "Okay, I'll fight him. Nobody else will." And I'm like, yeah, that's all I need in this feud is like, okay, I like to fight. He wants to fight. Let's fight.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really just weird. But Yeah, and Rey Mysterio is Rey Mysterio. I mean, I don't think his character has evolved in 15 years.
What is his character?
he's the ultimate underdog.
Yeah,
I thought it was also John Cena, so... It's the WWE mentality that he's short, so he must be a kid. So he's always an underdog. But when he's a former World Heavyweight Champion and former WWE Champion, it's very hard to say he's still an underdog.
Very hard to say he's still underdog. For goodness sake, the man had to suffer through the last years of WCW. That man's...
Oh.
So he had to be unmasked during the last years of WCW.
Oh, God, yes. He looked like a 13-year-old boy.
Yes.
That's why they never... That's why it's like... You know what? Yeah. We're going to put a mask bat on you because you look like a 13-year-old boy with this mask on.
Then they can sell merchandise.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Well, and it's with Ray, I don't know. Like, my thoughts the other day were, one, I miss his pop-up entrance. I loved that entrance. And two, like, now this one where he, like, summons fireworks. I'm like, dude, if you can summon fireworks, use that shit in the ring.
Yes.
Oh, like, my God.
Just randomly shoot some shit at people.
Yeah, like, oh my God, the big show's coming for me. Firework! Rey Mysterio is dad's
work. You know his new theme song would then be Katy Perry, right?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
So, off on one quick tangent with Katy Perry. Right? So that song, the lyrics are, baby, you're a firework, come on, show them what you're worth. Okay? Show them what you're worth. The average cost of a firework is not that much. So, like, Katy Perry is making billions of dollars, and you're saying, show what you're worth? So I'm worth $50, and you're worth a hell of a lot more than me. What are you trying to imply, Katy Perry? What are you trying to... Excuse me? Excuse me? You're going to tell me what I'm worth? That's it. You and me, one-on-one, Royal Rumble, Katy Perry.
Yeah, you heard me,
one-on-one.
Sorry, all you people who competing for the WWE Championship can call main event matches 6 months in advance.
Ashley's allowed. She can be a main event player.
Perry,
she can be part of the main event.
I am just gonna power bomb the shit out of her.
Yes.
You afraid of me, Katy Perry? You don't want to fight me? Oh yeah. Well, your kids are ugly. You don't even have your kids, but your kids are ugly. I'm done.
I got Nick singing to himself now.
I was just letting that roll. I wanted to see what happened.
Okay, so we're moving on from that match.
You're going to like my hashtag I just did, by the way, Ashley.
Oh, dear Lord. Ashley, do I have to kill you again?
No, you'll appreciate it.
What do you mean again? Wait, what?
Okay, we're not privy to this information.
Look, I've killed a lot of people, okay? I can't keep track.
Well, you know, there's a list. No worries. I just revive myself from the dead. Every time you kill me, I just come back stronger.
Actually, I do keep a list. I need to update that list.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I never killed Jesus.
Oh, boy.
That would be a trick. You would just come back in 3 days anyway.
Yeah, with Spider-Man.
Going to hell? Don't give a shit.
Anyhow, talking about hell, we have Kane versus Daniel Bryan. Which it's sad that I think Daniel Bryan is an amazing character. I'm just sad that we didn't have a podcast throughout the height of the AJ era. I feel like she's kind of been nerfed.
They've turned her into Stephanie McMahon, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
An acknowledged crazy version of Stephanie McMahon. Instead of just being the, we all know she's crazy, reality of Stephanie McMahon.
It's 1 week, literally, the moment AJ became GM. Rewind.
Yeah, I mean, most people were kind of like, what, when she was announced? But I was like, you know what, I would give it, because I think the idea of having a GM that's unstable sounded great, because, you know, she wouldn't be face or heel or whatever, but she's pretty much just a normal face GM now, who has character quirks, I guess, and it's not that interesting anymore. So Daniel Bryan, like I said, has been amazing in his role since post WrestleMania. It's funny how bad things can turn out so great for somebody. And it seems like they really just needed him to be on the SummerSlam card today. Like, you know what? He kind of had a thing with Kane, so let's just do that again.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's actually been any type of build up for this feud.
No, there was just the Charlie Sheen related thing. That was it.
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh, yeah, and I'm your anger management coach or whatever.
Yeah, and then everybody was like, oh, please do not tell us that Daniel Bryan is going to fight Charlie freaking Sheen. The only way I would have wanted to see that is if Daniel Bryan actually locked a full-on submission hold on Charlie Sheen and didn't let it go.
And you know they won't let that happen.
If they could get Pete Rose to get tombstoned, at least like every time Kane was in the ring with him, and
but that was still protecting Pete Rose. I mean, yeah. I am full out talking like, don't worry, I'm not really gonna lock this hold in you, Charlie Sheen. Yes, I am.
No, Brian. if they asked Brian to do it, it would Brian like, yeah, I'll break Charlie Sheen's arm. No, don't. He's going to break Charlie Sheen's arm on live TV, isn't he?
Yep. Like a boss.
It would have been awesome if they got Punk to comment on him during Raw 1000. There's that. Like I said, Daniel Bryan's awesome. This match really just seems like a way to get him on the card because he's so hot right now.
Daniel Bryan is so hot right now.
He's been like the focal point for
Raw
like the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
It's so great to see that Daniel Bryan, within like the year or so, suddenly be gone from one direction to the direction of like kind of there, not really, and now he's on every Raw now.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool to see actually, and giving him a new T-shirt every other week of from yes, yes, yes. Now it's no, no. No!
I assume that was his idea, I don't know, but it's clear how he's been able to turn the fans against that with him.
He plays them beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, where do you go from here? Like, maybe.
Give it time, that's probably
possibly.
Next week.
Perhaps. Then he could just come out to perhaps as his theme song.
With some certitude.
Probably. Heisenberg!
Schrodinger. I don't know.
They'll find something for him to do, I hope, because he has been an amazing character this year. He's had probably the best evolution, I would say, throughout the year. I think a certain other character has kind of stepped up in the last couple of weeks, and we'll get to that in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to this first because I want to talk about this because I think the other two matches are more interesting. We touched on the Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio feud beforehand. This is again another feud that has kind of been going since like WrestleMania or post WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was pretty much, and this ties into Daniel Bryan perfectly. Sheamus was scheduled to fight Alberto Del Rio at the pay-per-view after WrestleMania, but the crowd support for Daniel Bryan was so insane that the WWE had the next chance for that. So Alberto Del Rio won the number one contendership in April and actually didn't get that match until last month. But he had opportunities. There was one time where he got that quote-unquote concussion, which made him miss the pay-per-view, but he was perfectly fine to wrestle on Raw the very next night. And there was the time he had a one-on-one match that somehow got turned into a fatal four-way like the week before. So, and then, he finally got his match with Alberto. He got his feud with Sheamus. And the problem with this is, again, they started the feud before the June pay-per-view, and then he got a concussion. So a lot of the stuff they did kind of had to get negated because the feud wasn't going on anymore. And they did stuff last month, which had the awesome Ricardo Rodriguez dressed up as Sheamus bit.
I'm sorry,
you didn't
have
to
Ricardo.
Add anything to the end of that. You said Ricardo and awesome. They just go together automatically.
Ricardo won my heart at the Royal Rumble this year.
He is an amazing character, and I think he's the best part of Alberto Del Rio.
I keep waiting for them to put him in a match. I'm waiting for them to put Ricardo in a freaking match at least once.
He's been in a match, and he's just been all stupid.
Yeah, he's had that entire feud with Santino.
Oh, that's right.
And he's apparently, a good, like...
Yeah, I've seen him.
But that happens with a lot of people. I mean, that happens with AW as well. He's actually a pretty decent wrestler as well. And it was a car, Estrada, when he was with Umaga, was also a professionally trained.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Armando.
No.
Alejandro Estrada. Oh.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, I guess it makes sense that if you're a manager, you should have some type of, because, you want the Bobby the Brain Heenan thing where people enjoy seeing you get beat up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's a weasel suit.
It's even with, Stacey Keibler, who could not wrestle to save her life. But Stacey Keibler took actually some pretty sick bumps for, what she was doing. Some of her table shots were really nasty.
Yeah. Except they actually tried to turn her into a rushie at some point, and...
Ooh.
That never happened.
I mean, it's a very rare, Trish went from a manager to a... Trish and Lita actually went from managers to wrestlers.
Well, Lita had been a trained wrestler before. She was hired specifically to wrestle. Trish was basically hired to be a manager, and then she's like, no, I want to learn how to wrestle, and she ended up being really good. Mm-hmm. So since then, they have tried to replicate that.
And that hasn't really worked out for them.
Kelly.
That's pretty much all the stuff. Everything that worked out for them in the 90s, they've tried to replicate over and over and over again. For WCW as well. They keep trying to do Goldberg over again. They keep trying to do Stone Cold. They keep trying to do,
The Rock.
Trish. They keep trying to do The Rock, not letting the people just do their own thing.
Yeah, it's because you have people. I mean, and she's not considered a traditional diva, but Vicky Guerrero has broken out of that mold. She is an amazing character.
Yes.
She's one of the best characters on. She still gets amazing heats for saying two words.
Yeah.
I found an old. It was funny we were talking about earlier. I found an old NXT clip of their Halloween contest they did.
Yes.
And I was watching that, and it was just, and it was like Caitlyn doing a dead on Vicky Guerrero. And it's funny how Becky Guerrero is still staying in character, but you could tell she was just like, this is actually really funny. And I'm stifling laughter between this whole scene.
And
I just add here how great it was that Caitlyn's getting on TV more, too?
Yes, please. I was thinking the same thing. Yes, please, more Caitlyn.
I think is actually a pretty decent wrestler as well. It's just that they really haven't had anything to do with her since she won the title.
Well, and she was still kind of injured when she won the title.
Yeah.
Her knee was still giving her problems. They brought her back too early because they wanted to switch the Divas situation up, and Karma was supposed to come back and feud with Maxine. And then they were like, oh, well, you put on too much weight while you were pregnant, so you can't sit with us.
Be a star, kids. Be a star.
I mean, apparently the door is open if she would want to come back, so it wasn't like a nasty parting of ways, but it's still like you pumped everyone up because they wanted to see her come back, and they wanted to see her and Beth Phoenix, and then when they announced they'd signed Sarah Del Rey, and I'm like, oh my god, Karma and Sarah Del Rey, please.
I will be so happy if she actually does show up at some point. I saw her at Chikara, and she was awesome.
Yeah, didn't she fight a two-on-one handicap match against two guys?
That's not that match I saw, but yes, she did do that. The match I saw was her, and I forget the other one's name. It was, Saturnine against two dudes.
Yeah.
fucking rocked it.
They are
so good at blowing Serena Deeb, who they just completely fucked up.
Man, she got screwed over.
Yeah, there's actually, there was a match posted online, her and AJ for the Queen of FCW title, mm-hmm. and it was just like, why did you not keep this woman around? Like, this is what we could be watching instead of, bad hair, Kenrana.
Pull up.
Small package.
Gotta admit, it's a very effective finishing maneuver, the roll up.
You know, I end up missing the Divas match on this Raw, but the last episode of Raw, I counted down the seconds during the Divas match. Like, I was literally counting down the seconds, going, how long is it gonna last? When
this
it lasted
one,
over, like, yeah, no,
this
before
one
that.
Terrible.
No, before that, the Eve Torres Kelly.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, I was counting down the seconds, going, how long is it gonna last? One, and when it went over, like, I'm like, okay, it's going over a minute. Okay.
This week's Raw, the match was not bad, but it's because you had Caitlyn.
Yeah.
You had Beth Phoenix. You had Layla, and then Eve, who you can just tell to go stand in the corner and be awful.
I'm gonna have to check this when I catch this match on YouTube. I'm gonna watch it after we get done here, because I heard it was actually pretty good.
It wasn't great, but it was better than what... And see, a few weeks ago, I started going back and rewatching some old Divas matches from when it was like Lita and Trish and Ivory and Molly.
Oh, God. That was
and
fun.
And I'm like, I'm watching these, and I'm like, these are 10-minute-long segments, and these girls are actually, like, doing more than just going in and hitting their finishing move. And then... I think, like, right after that was the Raw with Kelly and Eve, and they're, and I'm like, oh.
Coochie pop, terrible, bullshit, moonsault, crap, fuck that. What?
Yeah, her moonsault.
Sorry. I turned into an old man for a second. Everything's terrible. It was better when I was younger. Get off my lawn, you fuckers.
I hate that, because I do feel like that sometimes when I watch wrestling, especially with the Divas. And I fucking hate having to say Divas. Like, no. Mm-hmm. No. No. It's a women's match for the women's title, not pink butterfly, strawberry scented butterfly bedazzled bullshit title.
I was gonna say, no, they have that stupid vocabulary stuff in general, as superstars, and I don't know why they don't want to say wrestlers. I don't know why that's such a dirty word.
Because wrestling is, because they don't want to be a wrestling company anymore. They're an entertainment company that just happens to involve wrestling.
They're not much for entertaining. But, yeah, we were talking about Sheamus and Del Rio, and I don't even...
I think this shows how our interest just kind of waned away from that in 5 seconds into...
Hey, let's talk about Damien Sandow.
That's pretty
Go
much
for
my...
it. That'd be more fun.
That's pretty much my thoughts on Sheamus. I think he's just a really dull champ. Like, there's nothing to do on SmackDown.
He's Sheamus. He's a guy who goes, ah, fella.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting...
Riding time until Randy Orton takes his title back. Basically.
If Randy Orton takes his title back, I mean, that word is that they don't really want to put Orton in that position anymore, because
that's,
they technically...
bullshit, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I can
He's the second biggest draw in the company. Possibly third if you throw in CM Punk, too.
I can kind of see them putting him in a position where he'll be in main event programs. I don't necessarily know if they'll give him an extended title reign. But I was going to say, like, part of it, I think, is because a lot of the SmackDown heels are in kind of trend. Because, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, Ziggler, he's done the feud with Ziggler briefly, and Ziggler's waiting in the wings with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Barrett's coming back, but he's been gone most of the year. Cody Rhodes has kind of...
Oh, God.
Yeah, what happened to Cody? He was, like, baller for a while, and it just kind of disappeared.
He's feuding with Sin Cara.
Yeah, but
what?
It's kind of like the death, isn't it?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. He had a great character development. He was an awesome. He's an awesome talker. He can wrestle. He added knee pads, so he didn't look weird anymore. I honestly don't know what happened there. It's just really. I mean, I'd rather that or have like a triple threat between Alberto and Cody and Sheamus. Something just to.
The rumor is that it's going to end up being a triple threat with Sheamus, Del Rio, and Orton. And they'll give Orton back the title, if only for a token run. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
Token? Because, you know, he got caught smoking weed. Which wasn't what got him wellnessed.
Nope.
That's what got him tested.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm just going to light up a doobie in the locker room while I'm shitting in somebody's bag.
And he's the Efren Bourne, except that he's nice, he's smart enough that he's paced out his mishaps.
Vacation, as they called it.
Paid vacation. It was kind of funny, because they're making this big joke about him coming back after being gone for like 2 months, and they can't say why he was gone.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Like, you've been gone. How does it feel to be back? Like, why was he gone?
How does it feel to be back? Well, I'm certainly not on steroids anymore.
So,
said
yeah.
The lying Randy Orton.
But... I mean, you know, then we're up to the final two matches, and this one, I think this one has huge potential to be the match of the night, with Ziggler versus Jericho. It's kind of funny, because this is kind of a retread of his feud with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 19, and it's kind of interesting to see Jericho in that older role now, where he's the guy that people are saying is kind of over. Well, Ziggler's saying he's over the top, and he hasn't won the big one all year. Which is nice that they finally paid attention to that story. And
yeah.
In fact, he hasn't won anything since he's been back.
Well, the problem with Jericho is that you want him to be a heel, and the crowd will not buy him as a heel for an extended period of time anymore.
He's just too entertaining.
They
like him too much.
Yeah.
It's like Ziggler's running into the same problem now, too. Like, people are starting to like him too much. They can't, like, people will still boo him, but it's becoming more and more of a problem where people are like, oh, like, there was a Let's Go Ziggler chant when he was going against Sheamus. And they kept trying to say, no, he's saying Let's Go Sheamus. And no, he's not. He's saying Let's Go Ziggler. you're dumb and deaf and stupid and racist and old, King, but you're
that
not that
amazing.
Dumb.
Amazing. Because, I mean, there's no audible way you can confuse Ziggler and Sheamus whatsoever.
Let's Go Sheamus?
Jerry Lawler is a blight upon the world.
It's not even like a mixed response. It was all Ziggler.
Wait a second. Okay, I have to go back to this. Jerry Lawler, the evil blight in the world. We'll just get Adam West to get back in his Batman jogging suit and and just have his final battle with the evil king of Memphis.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
But yeah, it's an entertaining feud. They can both talk on the mic. That segment yesterday with Piper was kind of odd. I'm not really sure what the Miz was doing out there.
He was mizzing.
He was missing.
He was missing all over the place.
And as good as the triple threat match ended up being, I honestly don't get the purpose of that either. Like, a triple threat match works if somebody has something to win. That's the way you get the heels to turn on each other. Like, this was just like a match. It doesn't matter who won.
On the plus side, though, I mean, it was a good match on a night that actually had a decent amount of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say that earlier, that, you know, all the things aside, and, you know, 8 million video packages and stupid segments, there's been more wrestling itself on the show since they went to 3 hours, which has been very cool.
Yeah, they tend to have a major match every hour, every top of the hour, and it's usually, we've gotten like some 30-minute matches recently.
Yeah, some really good stuff. And then, you know, we also had an hour's worth of promos and video packages, and then Damian Sandow being awesome. I keep bringing him up. I want to talk about how awesome Damian Sandow is.
But there's really no face to talk about him because he's not on the SummerSlam card.
He should not, be.
He's not.
I thought he was going to be on it. I'm pretty sure they're probably going to have him versus Brodus or something.
Oh, yeah, they'll probably put that on there at some point. I mean, it makes sense. They've been building this up. And it's nice to see Brodus is actually in a feud. His character, as much as I enjoyed a dancing big guy, really didn't go anywhere for like 6 months.
It's like suddenly, that initial, like, but of course I think the initial Brodus Clay was us all wondering, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, after they had packaged him as, like, he's going to be this monster heel, he's going to be, and when they introduced him as the Funkasaurus, and I just remember... Like the reaction to all of us on Twitter
was,
"What
the entirety of our Twitter
feed
just going?"
I think
what the shit is awesome.
I think the best part though was that when he went to interrupt Damian Sandow's match on Raw this week, he didn't run down. He actually danced down the aisle.
Yeah,
which I'm like, what?
And what's great is it was pointed out in the Best and Worst of Raw column that went up today that he pulled a Ziggler. Like, you know, before when Ziggler was facing Sheamus and Sheamus tried to pull the brogue kick shit he pulled with Daniel Bryan. And Ziggler ducked out of the way. Sandow, like, was being like typical heel. Someone comes down the aisle. Oh, what's that? I'm going to look at you and talk. Someone's going to come up behind me. And instead of being rolled up and losing, he got out, put his finisher on the fucker, and then, you know, won and did a cartwheel because he's fucking class.
Yeah,
that cartwheel was wonderful.
Everything about Damian Sandow is wonderful. He's my new favorite new guy.
I enjoyed him,
Cody, and Ziggler, top three.
I was gonna say I enjoyed that he did that, but I honestly don't know who Serio Christian pissed in recently because they have really it was like a minute long match. And he couldn't even get the cheap Royal victory, and he got beat quickly.
This is what's weird about wrestling fandom is you can't just assume because they're losing or that they did this thing that it's because they did something wrong. Like, they'll do that. They'll have veterans and people who Christian doesn't is over enough that this doesn't hurt him, and it makes Sandow look good.
I don't mind it with Sandow. It's just that he's been on a losing streak for about a month now.
Well, I'm sure that's gonna they're gonna pick up on that.
But people always dated and they never
had a losing streak.
But we shall see.
The point here is that Sheamus can shit in somebody's car, but nobody can piss in anybody's Cheerios.
You can dump in somebody's bag as well. Just don't smoke weed.
Drugs are bad, kids. Shitting in things is okay.
There should be a good. I wonder if there's a website dedicated to things you run in the WWE locker room.
God.
But yeah. So yeah, Jericho Ziggler should be an amazing match, and I think
that'll be fun
if given time, and you don't have to give an hour to Triple H's ego.
Oh.
It's probably match of the night contender.
Yes.
Especially being that as much as I love CM Punk, he has his work cut out for him this Sunday in the main event, and I hope it's the main event. I was surprised CM Punk did not say that when he cut his post-Rock beatdown promo, that he hasn't defended the WWE Championship in the main event of a pay-per-view at all this entire year.
He has brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Did he?
Yeah, he's saying that the championship should be in the main event. And then last night's show, he was the curtain jerker match and then top of the second hour match.
Oh, I meant like, I don't, but he hasn't specifically mentioned that, like, he mentioned, like, the WWE champion should be the focus at the end of every Raw. But, yeah, it's, and I'm happy, and I assume this will probably be in the main event because the other competitor in this triple threat match is, of course, John Cena. And John Cena could be wrestling a broomstick, and he'll probably get the main event scene on a pay-per-view.
Has he done that once?
So that was Rick.
Quick, someone find Miles.
Oh.
Someone did that live. Who did that? It was Jericho or Ziggler. I forget who I read. One of them actually literally wrestled a broom. It was Ziggler. Ziggler did it at a house show. He literally wrestled a broom just for, the hell of it.
Yes, Ziggler versus broomstick, I shit you not.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's fucking cool as hell is what it is.
And, of course, the final competitor in this match is the Big Show, who is having one of his yearly, oh, I'm a monster heel, so you take me serious, push, which they always seem to ignore every other time he does it.
He wears a ski cap. How can he be a monster heel when he wears that?
It looks like a penis with a little hat on.
They might as well put a beanie on the man, because that ski cap does him no favors. Like, wee! And he's wore a beanie once at one point or another. So I know that if I'm saying this could be better than a ski cap, you know that's saying something.
But,
beanie for Big Show.
I mean, traditionally, if you have a triple threat match with one big man, and it can work. I mean, we saw it this year with Daniel Bryan, Kane, and CM Punk. Granted, you know, Cena isn't quite Daniel Bryan. And Kane has always been a agile big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, I mean, ages ago, one of my favorite matches with Undertaker, Rock, and Kurt Angle. Granted, I feel like all three of those are kind of big guys, but... it can work, and I'm sure they'll make it work, because Punk has worked with Big Show enough that he gets entertaining matches out of him. I won't call them classics, but they are fun to watch. he did the same thing when he was feuding with Mark Henry during that little streak in between WrestleMania. I don't expect anything. CM Punk doing Cena's 5 moves to Doom last night on Raw.
No, that was hilarious.
Yeah. And then Cena trying to do CM Punk.
The running knee.
And he looked like he nearly killed Daniel Bryan.
I know. He hit him with his actual knee. It looks so awkward when he's doing. And then the bulldog, he screwed up.
Yeah, Cena's terrible. I mean,
which is
what?
Sad,
no,
Cena
yeah,
had
he
the
is.
Bulldog in his arsenal.
Yeah. It's just not very good.
But yeah, that was, I mean, you know, it's, and this is, I was talking about this earlier, CM Punk is a character, he's been an entertaining character, but he kind of hit a point this year where he was kind of going through the motions. He wasn't really doing anything because he was kind of stuck in this rut with these feuds. Not that his stuff with Daniel Bryan wasn't great, but they weren't giving them much to work with. I don't even believe they touched on their history during their feud, except for like a feature on WWE.com. After Raw 1000, he's kind of found a purpose. He's in that tweener role right now where he's not necessarily a heel, he's not necessarily a face. And he's been smart about that, because, you know, like, and I thought this was stupid as well, with the end of Raw 1000, you have Jerry the King always saying, like, oh my gosh, CM Punk has turned his back on the WWE Universe. And, like, no, he just hit the Rock with a show sign. That's not the WWE Universe.
He just gave some shit to the dude who was talking trash to him earlier and told him he was going to take his title.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Because we've had Raw end with John Cena giving the FU to The Rock. He didn't turn his back on the WWE Universe.
Well, and that's actually one of the things that was recently... Somebody tweeted at CM Punk something about they shouldn't have turned CM Punk heel, and Punk's response was, you shouldn't use words you don't have the meaning of.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I really enjoyed that, because it's, and I'm not sure if that's supposed to be, like, from his character's perspective, he's not the heel, or if that's, like, no, he's just really not the heel.
Well, I mean, I've said this on other podcasts, it's a great feeling is somebody who actually believes they're doing right. So even if it's his character shouldn't think he's the bad guy, his character believes what he's doing is right. How the rest of the universe perceives it, I hate using that term.
And what's weird about CM Punk is, even though he's on this heel turn, so to speak, people still like him, so he's just sort of like, in this point, he's be more of the really ticked off, like, no, you don't understand. Like, half this crap that's happening is ridiculous, and they should be actually bringing, like, the WWE title back to prominence rather than putting Cena and all these other stupid things in the way of what should be most important. So, it's like, yeah. It's like, and the fans are like, and he's supposed to be heel, but the fans still go, yeah! So,
yeah. And I think that's because, and hopefully they're smart enough to keep this up, it's because he's not, you know, even though Cena wants to label him as that now, he's not that typical whiny heel. He's the guy, he's saying stuff that is true.
And what we're thinking half the time nowadays.
So it's like, you know, you can't boot a guy because he's telling the truth. It's not, like, sometimes heels tell the truth, but it's still kind of dressed up a bit where... But he's telling the truth. He is the WWE champion. That does technically make him the best in the world. Mm-hmm. The end of the show should focus on the champion because that is the top guy in your company. Mm-hmm. There's nothing he's saying that isn't true.
Exactly.
The problem with this, and this happens with a lot of Cena feuds, is then Cena has to be like the good, good guy. And his stances never really make sense. Like, oh, you're whining about this triple threat match. Like, yeah, it makes sense. You're a champion. That's in your odds of winning the title, of retaining your title. He doesn't have to be pinned. He doesn't have to submit to you with his belt. How is that fair?
And on top of that, like last night with the John Cena wouldn't shake my hand.
Mm-hmm.
He had a point. John Cena wouldn't shake my hand. And it didn't even click to me until he said, and where I come from, that's the gravest insult you can give somebody. I'm like, oh, shit. That's, yeah, the Ring of Honor, the handshake. And I'm like...
The Code of Honor.
Is this supposed to make Punk the heel? Because that's not going to work with the Ring of Honor fans, guys.
Yeah, it just makes Cena look like a giant douchebag.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It makes Cena look like a jerk. Yep. And this is, like I said, this is a problem they have. Sheamus looks like a jerk. Triple H looks like an ass. Cena looks like an ass. All their faces are doing non-faces things. And it's like they're trying to go for, like, oh, he's cool. But it's not. CM Punk is cool because he say what's on his mind. Cena isn't because he's kind of a corporate shill. He's basically saying, oh, you know, you're a bad guy because I have to fight you.
I still say what I would love to have seen them do was last year when he and Punk were feuding. I still think that they missed their chance if they were ever going to turn him heel. It would have been turning him heel and having him, once again, thinking he's doing the right thing. Like, no, I had to protect the company, and I had to do the right thing, and you'll all thank me later, okay? And sort of being this sort of stooge for the company that was like, yes, sure, Cena, you're doing the right thing. That's a good boy. Here's a bone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And it would be awesome if they went with something like that for Cena. Not necessarily a heel turn, but like Cena's like this, like, he'll just push him to the other end. He's like this super nice and dopey guy, and he doesn't realize like everybody around him has changed and is edgy and hates him.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because, I mean, the whole point is that they can't change him heel because it turns out the kids can still kind of cheer for him, but everybody else is like, what is wrong with this guy? I mean, granted, that's kind of what they did with the Kane embrace your hate thing, but, and this is what I like John Cena well enough, but the thing that drives me nuts about him, and I don't know if it's all his fault, is that he has no reactions. He lost to The Rock. Oh, whatever. Okay, I'll carry on. He lost to John Laurinaitis. Okay, whatever. I'll carry on. He lost the Money in the Bank briefcase. Okay, whatever. I'll carry on. It's like there's no. I'm going to get angry, I'm going to get pissed, I'm going to, you know, like, this is a mental breakdown for me, it's like, I'll just carry on.
You know, the weird thing about that is, some people have actually, and you really want to get into this, is like, some people have said, like, they're kind of like, a Hulk Hogan-ish or sort of thing, but even when Hulk Hogan had crap happen, Hulk Hogan still got ticked.
Yeah, this stupid macho man, he got upset.
Hulk Hogan still had...
You know where this could go? Is it's going to be like John Cena is going to be like, oh, I lost my title. Oh, I lost at WrestleMania to The Rock. Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind. Who the fuck ate all my hard-boiled eggs? And that's when he loses it.
It'll be like CM Punk when someone spilled his soda.
Yes!
Yeah, I was hoping that CM Punk would have went foil Macho Man with Cena. I see you with the jealous eyes. I've had this type for almost a year. You never challenged me once, man on man. But that would have been awesome. But yeah, and like I said, that's the thing. Punk, he's the WWE champion. He's had a golden year, and he still reacted to the fact that he's not in the main event. Big Show reacted to the fact that, you know, he lost his job and nobody cheered for him. I mean, everybody, like, you know, nobody fought for him. Daniel Bryan reacted to the fact that he got effed at the altar. Mm-hmm. Cena hasn't reacted to anything in over a year.
Yeah, see, I it's like, let's see. I think that's the thing about Cena, what they need to do is, it's like they're like trying to keep him as this sort of face character. Let the man react. You know how that would help his character so much more if you would just have him react to situations rather than stay as John Cena. Yeah, make a funny joke, ha ha ha.
And this is I understand it's John Cena, and this is something that's really pissed me off personally. I don't know if the rest of you, is that Cena's the first person to use the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah,
and I feel like that should have been a much bigger deal.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh, that happened.
Yeah, like it's like it was in passing. Oh, Cena was like the first person. I mean, you know, like you've built this up over almost a decade. Like everybody who cashes this in goes on to win the title, and somebody finally cashes in and doesn't. And it's like, oh, whatever, it was Cena.
Yeah, no one cares.
I'm like, what's wrong? This should have been a huge deal. Like, I'm surprised they didn't have Ziggler reacting to it, like, saying, like, you know what, I'm going to prove that I'm better than John Cena. I'm actually going to win the title with Mayans or something.
That would have been awesome.
But yeah, it's just like, oh, we kind of brushed it under the rug. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, how does that even make sense?
I wonder if the point of Cena's character is he's supposed to be like Permastone. Like he's the new Rob Van Dam.
Oh wow!
It's cool. I lost that briefcase, guys. It's totally cool. What? I don't have a title anymore. That's awesome. What? Kane's beating up Zack Ryder. Oh man, that kind of sucks. Somebody shot me in the kneecap. Oh, I didn't feel that shit.
My wife's
divorcing me. Damn.
I was about to say, he did react once, and it was something, it was retcon the next night. He reacted to, after he beat Brock Yes, and he gave like that heartfelt promo about like how he hoped he'd go missing for a while, and then he came back the next night anyhow, and that was pretty much ignored. But there's nobody remembers.
I wasn't gone for like a week. Guys? Because it totally felt like a week.
Well, I mean, this is the same guy who got fired and like kept on showing up to his former job anyhow. So, who knows? Maybe he is on vacation and he doesn't know it.
Maybe the past few months of the WWE have just been in John Cena's imaginary dream life.
And then
in a couple weeks, he's going to wake up next to Patrick Duffy. It's going to be crazy.
John Cena's snow globe. The past few months have been in John Cena's snow globe. And we're just, and eventually by the end of the, say end of the year of Raw or end of this or like September or whatever, they're suddenly going to have this John Cena looking at a snow globe going, wow, that was nice, wasn't it?
See, I like the Dallas ending, but instead of Patrick Duffy, it should be, you know, John Cena wakes up and walks into the bathroom and AW is in the shower.
I like that better. I do. I do actually like that better.
Wow, we're getting close to an hour and a half, guys.
Yeah, we should probably start wrapping. I mean, before we finish, I mean, does anybody want to make predictions for this pay-per-view? Who wins? Who loses? Who cares?
I predict that no matter what, we will bitch about it on the internet.
That's probably a given. I mean, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I won't complain about it. If Brock Lesnar goes in there and demolishes Triple H in like 10 minutes, CM Punk retains by pinning Cena cleanly. I honestly don't care who wins between Jericho and Ziggler because either man, I mean, it works for either person. I think Ziggler needs it more at this point. Daniel Bryan has to beat. Huh?
It's going to be a fun match either way. So
yeah, it's going to be a fun match. I mean, Jericho's already on a losing streak, and I think Jericho's in the point of his career. He's kind of at that Mick Foley stage where you can lose like an entire year, and people still believe you can be the champion next night. So Daniel Bryan has to beat Kane, because as much I like Kane well enough, but Daniel Bryan is, that's the guy you strap your rocket to and send him to the moon right behind CM Punk. Miz versus Rey, I honestly don't care for either one of these guys right now. I assume that the primetime players have to win the tag titles. Kofi and R-Truth has been showing up in suits every week. And
that's
I think
weird to me out, by the way.
That was weird to see.
We didn't even talk
about R-Truth in a suit. I'm like, what? Did Jimmy pick that out? Is that the joke?
I have to say, we didn't mention Daniel Bryan kicking little Jimmy. One of the greatest moments in Raw history. But, yeah, and I think Antonio Cesaro has to beat Santino just because Santino really needs to drop that belt. He's not doing anything for it. So if all of that happens, I won't. Well, I'll probably still complain about something. I mean, it would
be less fan if you wouldn't.
I mean, even when they have great shows, you still find something to nitpick.
See, I just want Brock Lesnar, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels act out. It was posted on Snarking Out. I don't know if anybody saw it other than Nick. The masterpiece inappropriate ponytail theater.
I saw it.
Where I tried to class up the feud by giving them bowler hats and mustaches. Gentlemen, this business. I disagree. This business. Yes, this business.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indubit.
Rather.
So, anything else before we go?
I'm good.
Okay.
At Snarking Out on Twitter. And snarkingout.tumblr.com. I am moving all my wrestling commentary on Monday, Friday, and pay-per-view nights to at snarkingout on Twitter if you want to follow me and my witty commentary and my shitty commentary, because it is sometimes very shitty.
Is this in QTNA?
No.
Everybody went quiet with that.
No, because my initial response to that would have sent us all to hell again. And
well,
I don't want to be that mean. Point being, no, it does not involve TNA. It involves just shut up and show more Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
That's our current motto.
I like that motto, by the way. I laughed out loud when I was looking at when I went to follow it. I went, "Oh God, that's awesome."
So yeah, I think that will do it for us this week. Check out the 25th anniversary of SummerSlam. So it's usually a decent pay per view. Technically, the second biggest show of the year. I don't believe that anymore, but. You can find us on iTunes, Zune Marketplace, Eats Reviews. It helps other people find our podcast. Check out the website, nerdsontherocks.com. Every Tuesday, you can check out Nick's A to Z Cinema.
Yeah, I only have one left in this run. Then I'm going to take a break and then come back.
Are you going backwards or are you starting from A again?
I'll probably start from A again.
Okay.
If you went backwards, it would send the site back to the 17th dimension.
True. You should also check out my Twitter, Nicholas Reed, other stuff. I'm pretty cool.
No, he's not.
Send John Cena to the moon forever.
And you should also check out my Twitter at I am Wesley Messer, because I changed my name.
I was about to say, it depends, because by the time we put this up, he might change his name again.
No, it's staying that way. I am Wesley Messer, staying that way, because I was going to make it Wesley Messer, but someone with an egg avatar already ganked it, so.
Check out www.grannypanties.com with 17 Ys.
sister, don't give up, don't look down, 'cause you're tired.